Okay, everybody, welcome to the March 2017 community call. My name is Laura Berman Fortgang. I'm the author of Now What? 90 Days to New Life Direction. And you probably know that if you're listening to this call. On our call may be some of our authorized facilitators that are trained coaches who then learn how to use the Now What? Program. And you can find those facilitators on our website, www.nowwhatcoaching.com. And look under Find a Facilitator, and they've all been authorized to use this program, and one's current and up to date, and we're always happy to answer your questions about that. I open the lines once a quarter to speak to anyone who's considering a career transition or is thinking about it. Maybe you've read the book, maybe you've been a client of somebody's, maybe you're just thinking about it and haven't picked up the book at all, that's fine. So we open up the line sort of like, you know, almost like a call-in radio show to talk about whatever's on your mind around career or life transition. You did hear Steve say hello. He's across the world. I just want to say in the Philippines, but I can't remember. And he's one of our authorized facilitators too. You know, living the life of his dream. And coaching clients from all over the place. Are there any of our other facilitators on the call tonight? Anyone hiding out wants to say hi? Alrighty. And I did get a question via email, so if that person is not on the call tonight, I will read that question. Let me see. Just a couple other notes before I open up to talk to you. I will be at Kripalu, which is in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, the Yoga and Retreat Center, where once a year I do a weekend retreat called Now What? Career Clarity from the Inside Out. So I'll be there over the tax-paying weekend, like the 14th through the 17th, something like that. If you want to take a trip, love to see you there. And if you're local to the Montclair area, I'll be at the Women's Empowerment Week, April 4th, at the Wellmont Theater. And I look forward to seeing you there. And I think that's all the news that's fit to print. So does anyone have a question? Can this call last as long as we have questions?
Hi, Laura. This is Caroline Dottie. I'm in Utah.
Hello.
I just found you via a mutual friend, and I just started the book, Now What?
Awesome.
Having reinvented myself a couple times already, I started off by listening to your TED Talk, and I was really struck by your ideas of excavating the path for hints for the future. I'd already figured out that just because you can do something, it's probably not the worst reason to do it. just in the early days of the book, and yet another reinvention, and kind of struggling with the part, I've done the What You Hate, and I'm on to the, well, what are you going to do instead?
Right. Well, it's what do you want? On the, you know, on the other side of everything you don't want is something you do want.
Yeah, and I've kind of fallen into that. That's pretty easy. But the struggle is excavating the path. I mean, where do you start if you've been kind of a polymath and done loads of different things? Where do you... I know this is probably basic and maybe others on the call are further down the road, but where do you go from center excavation?
When you get to chapter 4 and do the life story exercise, that's where you're going to mine a lot of the gold. So chapter 4 gives you specific instructions on how to look for the clues in your story. You know, like we don't look at your resume, we look at your story. And if you've done a lot of varied things, you might see a theme or some through lines through them. Basically, as you heard me say in the TEDx talk, which I just went on to check, has 271,000 views, everybody, go check it out, is that, you know, we imagine our life like in job descriptions or careers, and it's really that what's inside of each of those things. So if the career or the job description is the eggshell, then what's inside the egg is the stuff that's transferable and that is undeniable and it is in your DNA. So the excavation really comes from pulling away the fears, getting out of logic, you know, and that's why those first three chapters are there. They're the blocks to clarity, you know, getting clear on these pieces. But in the life story exercise, you'll be looking for, you know, commonalities. You'll be looking for what are the meaning of the dreams that you may have had as a kid. And also something that maybe might be, for some, intuitively I just feel like might be helpful to you, is, and you probably heard this in the talk too, is that a lot of times we have a motivation that drives us, and that may be something we've outgrown. Do you remember that part of the talk? So all the different things that you've done, do you have a handle on what inspired you, or what was your vow that you made, or what was driving you to accomplish those things?
Yep, getting out of a podunk town and mm-hmm. seeing the wider world as far and fast as I could. And I kind of done that. So there's a lot yet left to be explored. I put a significant bite on it, so on that one.
All right. Great. So you did it, right? Been there, done that, right?
For the most part, I mean, there's more left, but I did get out. I got out and I got up, so.
Right. So what motivation would suit you better now? Do you have one?
I don't really. I think that's what the challenge is. You know, what next? Motivation-wise, it isn't even so much as a job. It's like, literally, what next in life? Is that
right,
a common thing people go through, or is that a...
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. But also, I mean, I want to get back to this motivation piece, because that's where my intuitive hit was for you, and you know, you have this one that got you out, and then we have a motivation that makes us successful, but then we don't need that motivation anymore. You know, you did that. So it's getting a sense of what's your criteria for being happy. It's not what you're going to do that's going to make you happy. It's who your job allows you to be, you know, who you want to be, and does your life allow that? So if you're constantly in survival mode, you probably can't be the person you want to be. You know, and if your motivation was all about, you know, getting out and getting up, and that no longer fits you, then it's looking at, well, what am I going to measure my success by? You know, is it a money amount? Say that again.
Yeah, I'm tired of being poor because I walked away from the big bucks 10 years ago, but 11 mm-hmm. years ago. But tired of being poor, though. It's been a great ride. So money's part of it, but it's more about continuing to make it. It's making a difference. It's continually learning. I mean, these are threads I've teased out, you know, just recently by casting around, continually meeting people from literally all over the world, learning new languages, making a difference in their lives, and of course it means a difference in my life too, so, because it goes both ways. So those are the threads that I've teased out so far that might be motivations.
Mm-hmm.
The details, I don't know, but that's the best thread I can come up with regarding motivation. Keep learning, keep moving.
No, I get that as criteria, but as what will, you know, I mean, this, and you may have to go through the process in the book, like this is not something that you get out of one conversation.
Right.
What is my story in chapter 4, then chapter 5 leads you to look at what your purpose is. And, you know, I don't write about purpose in, like, this highfalutin way of, you know, some thing you're meant to do with your life, as much as it's more of coalescing and getting down to, like, a core ripple effect. Like, who are you? Like, if you didn't have a job and you were just, you know, meeting people here or there, what is it that you cause? What is it that is your ripple effect in the world? Like, are people more peaceful because they've been around you? Are they more organized? Are they clearer? Are they, you know, are relationships healed? Like, what happens because you're in the game? And that is likely to become the new motivation is to be able to be using that. So you haven't read that part yet, but like for example,
no.
Someone might identify that their purpose or the sort of the essence of them or the thing that happens to people around them is that they just are catalysts for people. People will be catalyzed, will do something, will see the forest through the trees, will get started on something. And so keeping that in mind becomes, like, my day is a success if I was able to help people catalyze versus my day was a success because, you know, I sold 3 properties in my real estate business, whatever. So it becomes this different measure, and also I find that I call it turning up the volume. Like when you turn up the volume on it and you use it more, opportunities tend to come for you more easily because you're just out there being yourself. Like that's actually enough. You know, and how do you make a living at just being yourself is just, you know, then putting that into something that can make you money but still allows you to be your who you are and who you want to be. And it can come in many different forms. You know, like you said, you've already done a lot of things in your life. Do you want to just list off what some of them are?
I did finance for 30 years, fairly high-level finance. What else have I done? I've been a barista, a fine dining server, a licensed massage therapist, an energy worker, a healer, an intuitive, medical intuitive, and then now an irregular intuitive. I know how to survive in the wild pretty much indefinitely, off the land, primitive skills.
Mm-hmm.
Knitter. I used to sing, haven't done that in a number of years. What else? Good Lord.
Cool. All right. So what would you say is the, you know, what's at the core of all those things? What do they have in common? What is it that you seem to express moving through the world in those different job descriptions?
Putting people together with ideas, probably. It doesn't sound like it, but 30 years in banking, that's really what you're doing. It's selling, but it's putting people together with an idea of how they can, get money for their business, and then putting an idea together for the institution you work for that will allow them to safely lend the money they have, which they're loath to do. Kind of old school banking that doesn't exist anymore. Trade finance, how to bridge problems with transport and finance and moving money around the world. Putting people together with ideas, how can they do it better, faster? Fine dining, creating an experience, putting people together with a place. With a restaurant, with a cuisine, with a place, putting people together with wine, coming up with ideas for friends in their life. I think it's something to do with spinning off ideas, ideophoria, you know, just throwing ideas, but tailored ideas, perceptive ideas at people, and creating synthesis. What you said earlier was a good word, putting things together. And then letting them run with it. I don't want to be the executor of it.
Right. But I love what you said about synthesis. You know, it's like that you pick up on, you know, like you sense things. You pick up on things before you connect people to it. Like you connect people to something unseen that they don't yet know, and then they take the action on it. So whether you do that through body or spirit or intuition or, you know, understanding money and helping people see something they don't see on their own, That's where your abilities lie. So the next iteration of that is still going to allow you to do that. It's just going to be the next iteration.
Thanks.
So be open to that as you read the book.
I will.
Well, thank you. Okay, I hope that was helpful.
Greatly helpful.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thanks for dialing in, and don't go anywhere. I don't know if we have anyone else. Do we have anyone else live on the call who wants to ask anything? Because I'm going to read the email that came in. And hopefully this person will listen to the recording. All right, so This is a woman. She says, I've been at the same company for nearly 20 years. The position I am currently in is going through a transition and morphing into something I don't really want to do. My salary and benefits are hard to match elsewhere. I'm 52. I'm feeling stuck and don't know what to do. I did recently apply for 4 other jobs in my company. I was invited for an interview for 3 of them. I was not selected for 2, and I withdrew from the 3rd because it wasn't a good fit. My take on it is I looked good on paper, which got me the interviews, but I did not perform well in the interview. I think my uncertainty about what I want must have come through along with my lack of confidence. I consider myself one of the people who you refer to as not having had a dream, and I feel very disconnected from what I want. I read your book many years ago, and now I'm going to call in to be in this conversation again. All right. I guess my question is, how do I get clear on what's next for me? So, I mean, the first part of this email tells me that, you know, there's a lot of fear and trepidation, you know, logically speaking, good money, good benefits, I'm a certain age, how can I even think of leaving? But the other part of this is about someone who doesn't think they have a dream, and this is something that I do discuss in the book, in the whole Now What philosophy, the Life Blueprint philosophy, that I find. And this is the number one question that gets asked of me from my TEDx talk. It's like, okay, you talk about the people that don't dream, and then you don't give us a solution. And, you know, it was a 12-minute talk, and so I couldn't do 2 talks in one. But I did just write an article for the Huffington Post that explains this. So if anyone's listening, go Google Laura Bermaforkin Huffington Post, and you'll find it. But basically what I've discovered over the years is that people who don't remember ever having any childhood dreams or just don't dream, don't have that mechanism to feel like a heart's desire or to imagine something in your mind's eye, it means you've become desensitized, meaning like the whole mechanism doesn't work anymore. And that could be from a health issue, but most of the time it's emotional. If people never had dreams, I tend to see that they commonly will admit to having been in a household where they were fearful as a young person. Like there either was a lot of rage or maybe alcoholism or worry about a family member that are they going to live, are they going to die, or too much change, too much not safe. It's just kids and anybody, in order to be able to vision and dream and feel and imagine things, it has to be from a place of calm and peace and safety. It can't, even as an adult, my clients who, you know, like panic that they have to get a job within a certain time, where nothing's working out, well, the more upset they get, the less this process can work because it's all stress, logic, and fear. It needs to come from a very grounded place. So back to young people not dreaming, or, you know, you can still be an adult that doesn't dream, but if it follows you from the beginning or from when you were very young, anecdotally and from talking to hundreds of clients, I can tell you that there was an upbringing that led this young being to be more in fear than safe, and therefore the dreaming mechanism gets cut off. How do you get it back? If it's really, really deeply rooted childhood stuff, you may need to go to therapy. Nothing wrong with that. But one thing that we do try with in the Now What program is to assign what I call hobby by emergency or hobby by crisis, where you take on something repeatedly for at least a couple of weeks that brings back the senses. So it might be something you do with your hands. It's like knitting or working at a clay wheel or gardening or painting or woodworking or something that just involves tactile contact and imagination. And there are people who reject that idea, and they say they need to do something with their whole body. Like they take dance class, or they ride their bike, or they run, or they just get back to something that they used to love to do. And a couple of weeks of repeatedly doing any of those things often will bring back people's sensitivity. They can feel again. They can check their gut and see if they like what they're thinking about or not. Or they can sort of see pictures in their mind's eye. And that seems pretty quick, but that is my experience of people being able to bring that dreaming mechanism back. But like I said, if there's a really big loss or trauma, it may have to be worked out in therapy and not in this kind of situation. But you can get your dreaming mechanism to come back on. Another exercise that I will give people, I call it, you have to have want days, W-A-N, like Nancy T, want days, where if you can take as much time as you can possibly have unscheduled, so maybe it's 3 hours, maybe it's a whole weekend if you're lucky enough, but unscheduled, you don't even have the responsibility of taking out the dog or feeding the kid or whatever, that you can just spend some concentrated time asking yourself, what do I want? What do I want? I want my cozy slippers, put on your cozy slippers. I want to eat Oreos for breakfast, eat Oreos for breakfast. But just getting the awareness of what it feels like to want something. And I don't mean that in like an addictive sense of like, I want it, I need it, I have to have it. But just like, just that gentle gut feeling of like, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I find that that can bring it back for people too. So to our person who wrote in, if you're very disconnected from what you want, these are some of the ways you might get back to it. And since you said you have the book, go back to chapter one and write down everything you can't stand about your scenario. And then write down everything you do want. So, you know, you don't want to do what your job has morphed into. What pieces of it do you want back? What do you want to do? And when you start spending more time speaking in terms of what you do want, even if you don't have it, it's much kinder to your body and psyche than walking around all the time talking about everything you hate, can't stand, and don't want. You know, on the other side of everything you hate is something you want. You know, I hate my boss. I want to work with someone creative who respects me. So just even feel that in your body. You know, one feels better than the other. And focusing on the things you do want is going to be a very different equation than focusing on the things you don't want. The whole philosophy behind Now What is to get more in touch with your intuition and to tap into what I call your life blueprint. And your life blueprint is just, it's your DNA. It's how you're wired. You know, and unfortunately we don't come with a manual so we can all know how we work. But, you know, some of these things I think you're born with. Some of them are things that get nurtured along the way. But we tend to have natural inclinations towards where we can do the greatest good and what brings us the most joy, and they usually go hand in hand. And so your life blueprint is like this imprint on your soul that we need to uncover. You know, if we weren't nurtured that way as a kid, we need to uncover it now. I recently started talking about the Now What work with young people in high schools, and a few weeks ago, I did a talk at our local school with parents and their kids together, and I talked about how, you know, our kids tell us what they want to do or what they like, and we encourage them until a certain age, and then we start worrying about, well, how are you going to make a living at that? You can't study that in school. I'm not paying for a degree in that. And we cut it right off. So in that room with all these parents and kids, I started asking them, you know, asking the parents, you know, what did your parents say you could or could not do, and what did you end up doing? And it's always so interesting to see that, you know, here was someone saying, well, my dad made me go become an accountant. You know, I'm not sorry I did that, but what I really wanted to do is this, and then I asked her, well, what do you tell your kids? That they have to do X, Y, or Z. Like, why do we keep repeating the pattern? I mean, my ideal that I would love to see is, you know, people, whether it be with young people or even an adult trying to figure it out, is that we don't keep squeezing people into boxes and we reflect qualities about them so that they can understand how to use them. So if you've got, you know, a creative person in your life or a very numbers-oriented person in their life, we don't try to squeeze them into a box to say, oh, you're going to be an accountant or you need to do this, but it's more like, okay, these are the strengths I see in you. These are the places where you shine. And how do we invent a box to fit all that in? You know, and also most of us operate from fear. know, we need money, or we're afraid we're going to run out of money, or we're afraid that we can't do what we really want to do because they won't pay us. And, you know, there's reality to that. I'm not trying to just create a pipe dream. But at the same time, everything doesn't have to be as black and white or as rigid as we tend to make it. Okay, so I went off on a tangent there. So I think we answered our person's question who wrote in. Any thoughts, comments, reactions from anyone who's on the line tonight?
It's interesting to hear her questions and your answers, because that's exactly where I was about, well, pretty close to where I was about 15 years ago. And so, yeah, I wish I'd known it then. But it's good.
No, known what? What you're going to do, or what?
Just the whole focus on reflecting back strengths. The people around me sure could have used it, and I sure could have used that.
Right.
I think it
would
have been a truer, it would have been, I think it helps everyone to look at it that way, but I think it might have put my feet a little sooner out of the deadening world. Bearing in mind that everything's perfect, especially when it's not, but there it is.
I gotcha. Hey, Steve, any thoughts or observations from you all the way across the world?
I like that want exercise. I am going to borrow that from you.
Awesome.
I saw that article. I'm going to read that. You know, I think it's, I can tell you this, is that for those who listen, you can have what you want. You really can. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with me. The toughest thing, I think, for people to do is just to take that first step, you know? Yeah, just to take that first step. So if it's, you know, reading, you know, Laura's Now What book, or whatever it might be for you, it's take that first step. That's what I like about that want. And it is 9:30 a.m. here in Southeast Asia, and I'm thinking about going to the supermarket and getting some Oreo cookies. I mean, have those over here. I might do that later. So, taking that first step is just the hard. And when you take the first step, things start to happen, right, Laura?
Yeah, coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
It's like divine providence.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like the universe is just waiting for you to just take that step so that things could finally open up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a new career path providing me I want. You just fomented an Oreo want. It's a great thing.
Yes.
You're going to make Oreo. Yes.
But I can't have the Oreos I gave them up for Lent, so I'll have to wait till April 15th.
Oh, no, no. Temptation. All right. Well, you know, this might be a short call tonight. That's okay. No crime in that. We took the email. We have a live one. We have one of our facilitators, and we'll have to figure out what happened to the other 25 people who signed up. So hopefully you're listening to this on the audio. What else? I want to say stay tuned. There's going to be a big announcement from me. I'm not giving up my day job, but there's going to be a big Now What announcement from me in the next couple of days. That's a hint. And then you're also going to see in the, probably in May, the Now What Home Study Kit is going to come out in its new and updated version. It used to be CDs. Now it's going to be videos that you're going to run off, right off your computer. So when the book changed over in 2015, it rendered our home study kit null and void, but happy to make a new one and bring it up to date. So let's close out another Now What community call. We'll have another one May or June. Thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And
thank you, Laura. Thanks
to Facebook. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Steve. Have
thanks
a good day.
Laura. All right. Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye now.